Now let's continue on. I have you here in Matthew 24. So just kind of fold a few pages over and keep your place there and come to Revelation 11. And this will help us understand something so we can complete our study of that 70th week and what will probably happen. Okay? Now, Revelation 11, and we know that this was the revelation given to the Apostle John. Now, the Apostle John, at the time he received this revelation, was about 25 years after the destruction of the temple. Okay? Now, that's important to remember. Okay? And also, remember what it says about the man of sin, the son of perdition, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. It says that he goes into the temple of God and says he's God. All right? Well, that didn't happen when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Did not happen. But John had that, the epistle of the 2 Thessalonians with him when they were putting together the whole New Testament. Okay? So he knew what John had written. Yet God gave him this vision. Revelation 11 and verse 1. Then the angel came to me, gave me rather, a measuring rod like a staff, saying, "Arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. But leave out the court that is within the temple area and do not measure it, because it has been given up to the Gentiles." Did not happen during the days before it was destroyed. So this is talking about another coming event, okay? "And they shall trample upon the holy city 42 months." Now, 42 months is what? 3.5 years, okay? So if the 7 years, in the midst of the 7 years, he breaks that covenant and stops the sacrifices. Now, what does this tell us? Number one, there has to be a temple built. Number two, there has to be sacrifices given too. Okay. And number three, it shows that it is going to be cut right in the middle of the 7 years, though it doesn't tell us the 7 years here. We have to piece that together from Daniel 9. So if we have 7 minus 3.5, we have 3.5 good years. 3.5, where it goes into the tribulation. Okay? So let's come back here to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and let's read what John wrote. Because he was the one who finalized the canonization of the New Testament. And there are certain things that he did in edits to clarify certain things. Okay? So let's look at this concerning the temple. Verse 15. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place..." That tells you there has to be a temple, right? When John is doing the editing, the temple was destroyed. Yet he had the vision of Revelation 11, correct? So here we have something that Jesus didn't say in this parenthetical statement. Rather, John wrote it in to alert people that it was coming by saying, "The one who reads, let him understand." Because he didn't, and Daniel didn't. So he had these loose pieces of the puzzle. The 70th week cut in half, the temple being trampled 42 months. All right. So when the covenant is made, beginning the 7 years, now let me ring my bell. Okay. I believe that's when they will start building the temple, because they can't build it unless there is an agreement. If they started building any part of it, there would be millions of Arabs come in and slaughter them as quick as they could get in there and do it. So there has to be that peace. How long will it take them to build the temple? Well, if they prefabricate it, maybe, what, a year? Year and a half? Then they dedicate it with offerings. Then they start the morning and evening sacrifices. Okay? And that's what they take away, the sacrifices. All right. Now, I might say this, if you don't have our Revelation, Daniel and Revelation series, write for it. And there is a chart that I did, and I explain how I came to understand about the chart. Come to understand about the time, okay? And when I did the chart, I did it according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. And guess where 3.5 years comes as you count backwards, counting backwards from the time that the beast is cast into the lake of fire, okay? That ends the 7 years. Now, guess where the cutoff time of the sacrifices falls in that chart? Passover, okay? So is that when, in breaking the covenant, stopping the sacrifices, because now the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, goes into the temple and says, I'm God. That's why they stopped the sacrifices. No need to sacrifice to God, because he's there. Now, let me ring the bell again. Okay? Is that when he receives his deadly wound? Do the Jews retaliate with an assassination squad and wound him nearly to death, and his deadly wound is healed? See, so there are going to be some exciting times going to be taking place. Now, let's look a little bit more here concerning this. Let's come to the book of Esther, because we need to include, now you have where you were in Daniel, go back just a few pages to Esther. All right? Okay. Now, you have to read the whole thing. Okay. Mordecai was the uncle of Esther, who became the queen to Ahasuerus when Vashti, his wife, refused to do what he requested. Now, Mordecai understood what Haman, the Agagite, was going to do to try and take over and become king, that he was behind a plot to assassinate the emperor. Mordecai knew that. And Haman persuaded Ahasuerus to make a decree that in 13 months, all the Jews in the realm would be killed on the same day. So Mordecai asked Esther to go ask the king and talk to him, tell him what happened. Okay, so she did. And Mordecai was trapped into a meeting with the queen. And he thought it was going to be a meeting of exaltation for himself. So we have here, let's come to Esther 5. And verse 12, okay? Let's come back here, okay. Let's come back here a few more verses. So the king said to Esther at the banquet of wine, verse 6, what is your petition that it shall be granted to you, and what is your request? It shall be performed even to half of the kingdom. And Esther answered and said, as to my petition and my request, if I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I have prepared for them. And I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Now Haman went forth that day joyful, with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, he did not stand up nor move for him. He was full of fury against Mordecai. Now, Haman was like the Pope. giving no respect to the Pope. See? But Haman, verse 10, refrained himself, and he came home, and he sent and called his friends, and Zeresh his wife, and Haman told them of the glory of his riches, of his many children, and all things to which the king had promoted him, and how he advanced him above the princes and the servants of the king. Hey? And Haman said, "Yea, Esther the queen, let no other man but me come in with the king to the banquet that she had prepared. And also tomorrow I'm invited to her banquet with the king." I mean, this is a great setup. This is. "Yet all this fails to satisfy me as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." Verse 13. "Zeresh his wife and all of his friends said to him, 'Make a gallows 50 feet high, and tomorrow speak to the king that Mordecai may be hanged on it. Then go and merrily with the queen, or the king rather, to the banquet.' And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made." Well, God intervened. So here's a message to Achaemenid in Tehran, because that is Persia. Okay? And you're just like Haman here. You want to kill all the Jews. Well, you better read this, because God's not going to let it happen. Not the way that you think. "So on that night," chapter 6 and verse 1, "now the king could not sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers, the guards of the door who sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, 'What honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this?' And the king's servants who served him said, 'Nothing has been done for him.' And the king said, 'Who is in the court?' And Haman came in to the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows which he had prepared." So sometimes it comes down to the very last minute, see? "And the king's servant said to him, 'Behold, Haman stands in the court.' The king said, 'Let him come in.' So Haman came in, and the king said to him, 'What shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?' And Haman thought in his heart, 'To whom would the king delight to honor more than myself?' And Haman answered the king, 'For the man whom the king delights to honor, let the royal clothing be brought which the king wears, and the horse that the king rides upon, and the royal crown which is set upon his head, and let his clothing and horse be delivered into the hand of the one that the king's one of the king's most noble princes, so that they may dress the man whom the king delights to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, this is what shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.' And the king said to Haman, 'Make haste, take the clothing and the horse, as you have said, and do so even to Mordecai the Jew who sits in the king's gate, and do not fail to do any of all the things you have spoken.'" So I think there's some surprises coming up for Achaemenid and Iran. Exactly what it will be, we don't know. But when you set out to exterminate all the Jews, your life is in jeopardy. Now stop and think what happened to Germany and Hitler for trying to exterminate all the Jews. Okay? Keep that in mind. So then Haman did that. Okay. Can you imagine? He went around, "This is what shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor." Okay. So Mordecai returned to the king's gate, verse 12, but Haman hurried to his house mourning and having his head covered. All right. Then what happened? Well, On the next banquet, he tried to force the queen. And the king found him and said, hang him on the gallows which he made for Mordecai. And then he sent a proclamation that all the Jews would be untouchable. No one was to kill him. No one was to round him up. And so God intervened that way. So he needs to understand what's going to happen. Now, let's come back to Zechariah 12 again. Zechariah, and let's see that there is going to be repentance. There's also going to be some war. Zechariah 12, all right? Now let's pick it up here again, verse 3. In that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All who burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces. Isn't that what happened to all the friends of Haman? Though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against it, in that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with terror, his rider with madness. I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the people of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. Now I can see someone like Netanyahu doing this. Okay? Also notice verse 6. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire among the sheaves. And they shall devour all the people all around, on the right hand and on the left hand, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her place, even in Jerusalem. So there are going to be tremendous events happening there, see. This is talking about the beginning of repentance. Now come down here to verse 7. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. So the glory of the house of David and the glory of the people of Jerusalem may not be magnified above Judah. In that day the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it shall be, he who is feeble among them at that day shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that came against Jerusalem, I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the people of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they're going to understand about Jesus Christ, and they're going to see him returning. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness over him as the bitterness over the firstborn. In that day shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of David apart and their wives, the family of Nathan apart and their wives, and the physical lineage of David through Nathan is what Jesus received. So it mentions it right here. And the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, and all the families who remain, every family apart and their wives apart. That's going to be quite a thing. So there's going to be a good end to what takes place in Jerusalem. Okay, salvation is going to come. Let's look at some other scriptures. Okay, let's come to Isaiah 40. Now, this is actually the introduction to the Messiah. And I've heard it many, many, many times. And this is going to be quite a thing that's going to take place. Think of all the wars that the Jews have gone through. Think of all the persecution and slaughters and murders they've had down through the ages. Think of the Holocaust, the World War II. Think of how they're hated by every Muslim in the world today with an implacable hatred. And then read this verse. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. And that's how the recitative starts out. Starts out, comfort ye, my people. That is really a very moving way to start the Messiah. Verse 2, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Couple that in with the opening of the eyes there in Zechariah 12. This is going to be a fantastic and tremendous thing, brethren. See? So people can get mad at the Jews. Listen, they've been given over to blindness and over to Satan, just like the rest of the world. And so their time is going to come, and it's going to all be worked out. Now let's go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Okay, verse 1. After all that has gone on, and think about all the suffering, think about all the misery, and think about the people living there in what is called Israel today. They don't know when the next rocket is coming. And only 12 miles wide. You know, if they reduce it down to the other, it's only 9 miles wide. Verse 1. Awake, awake. Put on strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful robes, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For never again shall come to you the uncircumcised and the unclean ones. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up. Sit, Jerusalem. Free yourself from your neck bands, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them howl, says the Lord, and without ceasing my name is blasphemed every day. Therefore my people shall know my name, thus it shall be in that day, for I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. Now, everything's going to change when Christ returns and the millennium begins. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good news, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your king reigns. That's going to be quite a time for them. The voice of your watchmen shall be lifted up. They lift up their voice together. They sing aloud, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord returns again to Zion. So that's what's going to happen when that 7-year period ends. It's going to be really a great time. Break out, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Boy, that's really going to be a time when that takes place, see. So what we have to do when we look out and we see what's taking place in the world, and we see the things that are going on, and see the utter destruction that is coming, we need to look beyond that to the solution to what God has, see. All right, now let's come here to Psalm 122. Okay? And here's what the Jews lament when they can't get to Jerusalem. The Jews have said for centuries, see you in Jerusalem next year. But 1 year, that's going to happen. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. our feet shall stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is all joined together as one, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Verse 5, for there were set the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And those thrones of judgment will be what? The 12 apostles. Pray for the peace of Israel. May those who love you prosper. Peace within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within you. For the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. And that's how the Jews are going to feel. After all they have gone through, you think about every evil thing that has come along, where they have been chased from pillar to post, from nation to nation, be despised and hated. This is going to be some day for them, okay? It's going to be some day for them. Now, we'll finish with Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which can never be removed, but remains forever. As the mountains are all around Jerusalem, so the Lord is all around his people from this time forward and forever. The rod of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth his hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in the heart. And as for those who turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. And so as we see the conflict going on, and we see the things taking place with Jerusalem, and see potential of another war, we don't know exactly how it's all going to turn out, or all these events are going to be, but we do know the end of it when we read the Word of God. So keep your eyes open to all things. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.